many nerds, too many nerds is what I like. Inducting and dancing and dying around the mic. They interview cause they got guests and they will school you about comedy, comedy, ha, 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 ha. Comedy nerds, I wanna know all what they know. This is the comedy, comedy nerd show. Comedy, comedy, ha, ha, nerds, ha, ha. What's so funny, they tell you so. Ha, 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 nerds.
Well, hello everybody, you're listening to the Comedy Nerds. We're recording in New York City where it's approximately 150 degrees outside right now. I guess there's been some budget concerns, so they've canceled spring. Since I believe on Monday it was roughly 30 degrees, and now it's, like I said, I think it was like 85 today. Yes. So
it was 90. It got all the way up to 90.
All the way up to 90. Yeah, so that's just a quick snapshot of what we're going through. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Dusty Adada.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Dustin.
Yes, we have two. We have not one. We have two guests.
I know. It's been so long since we have two guests.
We have two guests, and neither of them are Michael Hartney or Nick Turner.
Wow.
Who are always two guest people.
History, groundbreaking show.
Yes, we'd like to welcome to the podcast Abby Crutchfield.
Thank you. Hi.
And Andrew Singer.
Hello, hello.
I have curly hair like Nick Turner, so it counts.
You do.
I do.
You have very curly hair. You have a website dedicated to that.
Curlycomedy.com. Yes.
There's to be at least one person with curly hair on a two-guest show.
Yes. I mean,
that's
I have, like,
rule.
Wavy, you know.
Yeah, that's not.
No.
You look nothing like Nick Turner. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You unfortunately also.
Oh, of course. Abby looks
more.
I look
more
exactly
nothing
like Nick Turner.
I mean, I walked in and said, hi, Nick. How you doing? Oh, no? No? Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. So, Dustin, why don't you tell the good people at home?
Yes, they are co-hosts or co-producers or whatever you want to call it of a show called Positively Awesome.
Co-friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Co-friends.
And the problem with that name is that I wanted to think of a positive way to describe it, but it's Positively Awesome, and everything I could think of sounded hack.
It's,
I just had
well,
to
people
say
people can't help but say, I think when they're telling a joke, they say, well, that was positively awesome. Like the name, the title's in their minds already, so they can't think of any other description.
Yeah.
For saying something in a positive way.
You should have started keeping a tally. That way you knew, like, the 100th time somebody said that on stage.
You know what I should get is one of those bells that you use to call someone to the front desk. And just every time I hear it, go ding.
Ring a bell.
They would be ringing it like once every 5 seconds. It would.
It would be a different show.
Yeah.
Then that, maybe I wouldn't get the bell. That would be irritating after a while.
Or you could
just taser them. You could just taser everyone who does it, and then people will stop doing it.
Then they wouldn't think it was.
Yeah.
And you build an audience because you know that, like, somebody's going to get tasered 50 times.
We could just call it the taser show.
Yeah.
Tagline could be someone will die or get tasered.
But then people would stop saying positively awesome.
That's true.
That's true.
And it would ruin the whole thing.
Gosh, this is like psychology 101.
We just want to bring it back a little bit, not like, you know, completely stop.
Bells, tasers.
Yeah.
Maybe cheese.
Maybe whistles.
What if, and just stick with me here.
Okay.
Okay.
Remember American Gladiators when they would shoot them with tennis balls out of a cannon?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What is that? Is that a middle ground, maybe?
Could that happen?
Because, I mean, it probably leaves some kind of a bruise, but it's not going to, like, seriously screw anybody up.
I'd like one of us to wrestle the performers to the ground, wrestle them off stage, gladiator style.
Yeah. That would actually, I would be happy to wrestle most of our performers to the ground.
But that means you have to be standing on the side of the stage in a leotard the entire time waiting for them to say it.
Yeah, I'm not really, I don't have like a muscular body, so it's like, I'm not.
It's a comedy show.
Yeah, so. You know, I just like, I'm not very imposing.
Well, then they'd have
I'm
a
saying.
Chance. They'd have a chance to stay on stage and tell their jokes. There's so many ways you can produce a show. There's we're a bottomless pit of ideas. Yes.
We'll get into it in a little while.
Yeah.
It is. You've already gone through much of our ideas.
Right? Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I had.
Yeah. All right, then
we're officially out of ideas. Yeah.
So why don't we get into the news?
All right, cool.
Dan, why don't you throw up our first news story?
Okay, well, this news story sounds like something that you would make up, but apparently, for everything I could discover or find online, it is in fact true that a Daily Show writer named Brendan Hay has teamed up with George Lucas to produce a sitcom based on the world of Star Wars.
Whoa.
Yes, I've heard about that.
With somebody from Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
And they know how to do Star Wars.
There's a weird sort of collection. No, I'm not saying that. It's a weird sort of collection of comedy talent has come together. But I see what you're saying, that they're good at Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is a sitcom. This isn't like, you know what I mean? Like
a sitcom with a laugh track?
I think it's going to be like a cartoon. But okay. But basically, like, I don't know what it is. Like, Chewbacca comes home. He knocks something off the table. Everybody laughs.
Ooh, the whole audience simultaneously.
What I had heard was it was going to be an exact duplicate of Family Matters.
I like that.
Jar Jar plays Urkel.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that changes.
Jar Jar Urkel.
Is it going to be a...
That's literally the only thing that changes. Yeah. So, and I think that would work.
I actually would watch.
That would be an awesome
show.
That
would. His ears are like accidents waiting to happen.
Yeah. He could say, did I do that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really well. He's got an annoying voice as it is.
I think he said that, actually, in a few
episodes. You know what? He might have, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
He knocks over a bunch of droid bots, and then, oops.
And you know what? Kids love that dude. Like, we always forget that, but kids love Jar Jar. Jar Jar was more loved than Yoda was for us. So,
I would love
upsetting.
It if Jar Jar was based on Jaleel White's character, Steve Urkel. Stephen Q. Urkel, I believe his name was.
Yes.
Since we're remembering things accurately.
Would you do that if you were offered the big breakout TV role, but you had to be Urkel? Like,
you mean a typecast character forever or Urkel?
Or literally
like,
Urkel.
Like, you knew that you were going to be Urkel for, say, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time anyone had ever seen you ever. Would you do it?
I would say, did I do that? Because there's a paycheck involved.
Well, it's sure. You know, it's weird. Some people do get caught in that, but other people, like, I mean, Robin Williams could have been Mork forever, and he figured out a way to get out of it. So it's really up to the person. Yeah. I think if you think you have enough.
Well, what was the way that he got out of it?
He's always been
that same
character.
Because I feel like in that early
cocaine,
it was his gateway to celebrity. Because it seemed when artists are just starting out, it really is hard to kind of make a name for yourself. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just did a lot. Like, but he just did a lot of stand-up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he never stopped doing it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Jaleel White,
not done much.
I don't think he had much else to do. I think he could. Yeah. He looked funny in high pants, and that was about all he had. And God bless him. I mean, he was on beach towels and stuff, so I'm sure he, you know, it's more than I have.
Why?
But
why would you do that?
What?
Why would you put him on a beach towel? Why would you put him on any
I'm
product
just saying,
ever?
I'm sure there were Urkel dolls.
I bet he sold Jell-O as a kid before he got Family Matters. Like,
yeah,
I bet he
That's a
stuff.
Really specific thing. He seems like a Jell-O kind of guy.
He's
like
my cousin, by the way. I'm just standing
Jell-O,
up for him.
Mostly.
Jaleel White's name has been uttered more times this evening than in the past decade.
Jaleel Jell-O.
Well, he's our guest next week, so everybody
okay.
come back.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's good. That's great.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this. So otherwise he won't be our guest next week.
Well, also,
and he's not really.
One last thing. One last thing about Urkel, and then we'll move on. Is that it's always funny. He's one of those things that like that he also like came out of nowhere, that character. So there's a couple of episodes where he shows up like the first couple of times and he's not quite Urkel yet. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
I
where
know
he's
that.
Just like kind of a nerdy kid. And, you know, but whatever. And then, like, later he comes back and his pants are literally, like, up to here. And,
and
it's like,
break.
Oh, I knew that. And, like, when you watch those episodes, and yes, I watch Family Matters. Come on, guys. let's not act like we're better.
It's a rare condition.
No, but that only proves not only that you watch Family Matters, but you watch it really close.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Well, because it's weird, though, when all of a sudden you're watching an episode and Urkel shows up and he's not quite Urkel yet. But then you kind of think, like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Like, that's my mind starts going. Like, what... Some point that kid got more nerdy and like turned into like a super Urkel.
He probably did an impression when they were doing a read through, and they were like, "Yes, that guy, be that guy."
Mm-hmm.
You're taking it for. I meant literally like in the universe of the show. Like I sort of imagined like he was hit on the head with like a frying pan.
Oh, that's
like he has
a
some
good
sort
point.
Of brain. And then
why
the show
did his pants go so
yeah,
high?
Yeah, people started pantsing him because he was a nerd and he put them up so high. To,
that makes more sense.
But now he's overcome. Now he's just nerdier.
Well,
now you want to just smack around with Urkel. Don't you understand? You're only making it worse on yourself.
You know what it was? He grew, but his clothes didn't. Mm. He kept the same outfit on, apparently.
I guess so.
And then his pants came out. Do you mean that would he would have had to
shrunk?
He shrunk.
No, his body grew, but his clothes got smaller.
That would make his pants lower.
That makes pants lower.
Gosh.
No, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
I think it's the same thing that made him Stefan.
I don't want to hold on to this point.
Or whatever he was.
Well, that's the funny thing.
I can't visualize what you're visualizing right now.
That's the funny thing, too, that like Family Matters started out as like a fairly conventional sitcom. Cut to 9 years later, and Urkel has magic potions that can turn into Stefan, and there's a robot Urkel,
yes.
And like, and he's—I think he time traveled at one point.
And they had
like,
the extra little kid,
yeah.
That just, no one knew where he came from.
That would just—it would be great just to watch like the first the like last episode of that show and just see like how it got completely insane.
And I'd like to point out that we started this talking about Star Wars.
Yes.
Moving on to the next story.
So our next story is that Slash was on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Slash, by the way, is the former guitarist for Guns N' Roses.
They broke up?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Guns N' Roses broke up.
No, Guns N' Roses is still together.
No.
Just Slash is not in it.
Well, you're actually right.
Yeah.
That
I didn't even know Slash left, though. I thought
Yeah, well, everyone left except for Axl Rose.
Matt Sorin.
Yeah, no. We'll talk about this
Axl's
later.
Axl's cornrows came into the band.
And he got crazy plastic surgery, and you don't get plastic surgery if you're a Axl
Rose.
Yeah,
that's not rock and roll.
Oh, Axl Rose. No. Yeah. I thought you meant
Slash
guy.
Axl Rose is like shiny now.
Yeah,
it's gross.
Yeah.
He's got that like that. You know that lady who had way too much plastic surgery and she's sort of like smooth.
I know who you're talking about.
He's like halfway there.
Yeah, he's like that guy. He's also Kenny Rogers is another guy.
He had plastic surgery. You can't recognize him.
I can't look directly at him. Mm-mm. He looks unnatural. He falls into that like uncanny valley where it's just so creepy to look at him.
He knew when to hold him. He knew when to fold him. Nip him and tuck him.
He knew when to get his eyes
plastic surgery
spaced out. I liked it. Anyway, the point was
you really sold that. You sold that really hard.
I enjoyed your joke.
Now I'm just thinking about the Urkel bot. It's like we're gonna keep bringing it back to him. All right.
Sorry.
Focus.
So anyway, what was? Oh yeah. So Slash. He was on Jalen. I don't know what his new band is called. I haven't been keeping up with
Snake Pit.
Snake Pit.
Well, that was from like 10 years ago.
No, probably the same. You could be right.
No, he's still in
Velvet Revolver. I thought they were done though.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Point is, Slash was on the Tonight Show.
He was on the Tonight Show and he was wearing an "I'm with Coco" button.
Risky move.
That's so confusing.
Yeah. Well,
because he's not. He's totally not. He's with Leno.
But it was a little.
Was that like a photo bomb, sort of?
I get, or it was like a, but I don't know.
Gawker had the video of it today because I don't watch Jay Leno ever. And
really?
Yeah, because he's awful.
Because
I thought you were trying to drive ratings down, which is my reason.
Yeah. You're trying to drive ratings down?
I like him. He's fine, but I don't want to give that new show a chance at all.
Well, are you a Nielsen family, though?
I'm not.
Okay. Yeah.
I
watched
it
on Gawker. Oh, and the way they edit it around, it's like they only show Slash from like, I'm trying to show like here up to the audience at home who cannot see
chest up.
Yeah, from like above the nipple up, or from really far away so that you can't see the button that's sort of like nipple height.
He's like the new Elvis because they used to film him so that you couldn't see his waist because you know those
exactly
because he had suggested buttons. Moves.
So wait, did he? He clearly wore it to say kind of screw you to Leno.
Or, I guess so, yeah. Or just, I don't know.
Or he just forgot he was wearing it.
Or he has no idea why it's trendy. He just pretends to be with Coco.
Or it would be awesome if someone just slipped it on him. Like, he literally has no idea what's going on.
I'm confident.
Like, what?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Sure, whatever.
He's out of it.
I'll put whatever you want on.
If you asked Slash where he was, he would tell you where he was in, like, summer of 87.
Yeah.
And then, like, just he assumes he's still there.
Right.
He's so, like, high and drunk. He had his own Baron of Vodka at one point.
Yeah.
That's true, he did.
Like,
what was it called?
Like Slash something. I don't remember.
You would think so,
Slash
was probably involved. The word Slash was
But he had
involved.
His own brand of vodka before the company went out of business. But the point is that you have to be a hardcore alcoholic for them to be like, you drink so much vodka, we're going to call it you. All right, so our last news story is actually about us. Yeah, I know, weird. Next week, we will be going live.
Wow.
To the internet. We'll be going live to Ustream. We will be recording on April 14th at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to ustream.tv/thecomedynerds or go directly to our site, thecomedynerds.com, and you'll find a link to it. So come listen to us. You can comment, and we'll talk about whatever you're saying. So if you've ever listened to the show and thought, hey, those guys are dumb, they should be saying this, or I want to agree with them because I like them so much.
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely the latter.
Probably the latter.
It's probably,
it's almost definitely the latter.
A lot more.
So again, that's April 14th at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Uh-huh.
Or I don't know if we're in Standard Time. Are we? Anybody?
I would say we're in Standard Time.
EST.
Yeah.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, 7:30.
Yeah. 7:30.
On the East Coast.
On the East Coast.
Daylight savings is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Indiana, right? They.
I don't know that they ever change.
Yeah,
Arizona never changes.
Arizona, yeah. That screwed me one time.
Yeah.
I showed up an hour early for something. And they're like, oh, yeah, we don't do daylight savings time here. I was like, well, I how am I supposed to know that?
Damn you, Arizona.
And you flew back to the
East
Coast.
You go back to New York.
I was like, yeah, screw this. I'm leaving.
So once again, April 14th, 7:30. That's a Wednesday, in case I got the date wrong, which I hopefully did not. So let's introduce our topic, and then we'll get into it in the second half.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, Abby and Andrew produce a show called Positively Awesome. They are co-hosts of the show. And that'll be our topic for today, co-hosting. How you do it, the tricks, to making it work, how you split up responsibility. Because if you're out there and you want to make a show and you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to make a show alone because I'm scared and I know I need somebody to hug.
We hug each other all the time.
Yeah. We do, after every show.
Really? That's so sweet. Because Dan and I co-host this, and we've never touched.
Yeah.
Well, it's time tonight.
I do have that weird bubble boy disease where I can't have any human contact. So.
Oh, really?
It's bad when you go for the handshake, and then someone else tries to hug, and then you're both confused.
Yeah. The hug shake.
The hug shake, yeah.
The shoulder.
You touch shoulders to compromise.
Yeah. I don't really have that disease. I just don't.
Really?
I don't like touching Dustin.
Then what are you doing in this giant plastic bubble?
Well, I mean,
with all that to set up,
you
got to
keep it off. You got to keep it up.
It was good. It was worth it. I was totally fooled.
It was like 7 years of commitment to the bubble thing, and you just
decided
to break it now.
I was like, someday, this bit's totally going to pay off. This is going to be unbelievable.
Today's the day. Oh, Dustin. No, Dustin says no.
All right, fair enough. All right, so
we'll be right back, and we will talk about co-hosting.
Yep.
All right. Oh, before we go, we're gonna go to break with a song, one of Andrew's songs, called "Running Free."
Yes.
Anything we need to know?
It's a rap that's in 6/8 time.
Ooh, that's unusual for a rap song.
Yeah, that's true. You will very rarely hear a rap in most raps are in 4/4 time.
Well, get ready.
Yeah.
Here it is, "Running Free." By Sose the Elemental Wizard, or Andrew Singer, or he goes by many names and has many business cards. All right, here you go.
Sose the Elemental Wizard. I was a renegade until I started drinking my lemonade. Now I'm better paid, don't need Medicaid, cause I got my 401k animations. Fool the people one way, yeah, that's told the master. Spell caster, if you step to me, it's a disaster. Beat blaster, beat crafter, nobody's better before or after. And my legacy's meant to be students of the highest pedigree, mentally and physically. There is no diminishing the power of my wizardry. Gunning for my album number 3, suddenly nothing's in front of me, so I'm running free of ugly pressures that were developing, locking me in the basement like Vanellope. Now escaped in any heat in the face, cause for taking the race is a major disgrace to the great paper chase. I smile confident, the echo about my life, cause finally I'm running free. Now what does that really mean? I wish that I could do whatever I want, knowing that I do it well. I'm also suffering from self. Now what does that really mean? I force myself into a specialty niche, and that is nobody's dream. Water from a triple dream, or a diamond bed gleam, or an apartment I own. You could tell me I'm an evil cat, but I'm just realistic. Think of that. Be a rapper for a day, rapping for no pay, wishing I was an aristocrat. For I am with the lyrics, not with the paper. It's gonna happen much, much later than expected at my current trajectory. Unless I can find a tunnel of lecturing high schools and maybe colleges. So insightful with the politics, and I might pull a hot assembly that goes right through into your memory. When you tell your teacher just like that walls, and how I can be reached from a later cause, or do I ask too much? Is it better to unlearn? Throw it all away, never to return. As a performer, there is little art to stepping on the stage and tearing it apart. You gotta get a sentimental start that'll put you in incredible regard. While I talk on the topic of constantly robbing the audience of positive analysis, leaving bitter with the taste of a dinner that's a race of the place in a state of paralysis. Emotions are to be played, but it's hard to be swayed these days. There's way too much dialogue, so I try to avoid the white noise, cause even nines were the grace of the quiet song. Rocking now's my responsibility, consider it a task that's hot but limiting. I can take control of the crowd with the beat, make it loud with a plea that finally I'm running free. But what does that really mean? I wish that I could do whatever I want, knowing that I do it well. I'm also certain of myself. But what does that really mean? I force myself into a specialty niche,
there's nobody's dream. There's no one to be supreme. I wish that I could form a team, but there are very few who I can trust. I only work with others when I must. Finally I'm riding free, but what does that really mean? I wish that I could do whatever I want, knowing that I do it well. I wanna make an RPG, so you stay with me and never leave. Right now I'm running through the forest of death, gonna make it to the sea, so I can finally escape. What is it I really need? Why do I always stay up late?
And we're back. We're discussing co-hosting.
Yes.
Co-hosting. Coasting.
Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about your show, Positively Awesome?
Positively Awesome was started when Andrew and I would run into each other on the comedy circuit a little bit. I had him on the Living Room show that I produced since 2006, and he was performing his hip-hop. I would call it comedy hip-hop. Is that what you would call it? And so I was just thinking I really wanted to see him. This is funny. I'll tell you why it's funny in a second. I wanted a platform for him to be able to perform his music. I was like, this guy, somebody's got to see this guy. And I also would like more stage time for myself. So I thought, well, I'll produce a new show and, you know, just to change it up since I had produced one show for so long that has its own routine. And then I asked Andrew if he'd be interested. And you were, like, more interested than I was. I threw it out there and he was like, yes. But
absolutely.
What I found out was you have plenty of musical performing opportunities.
I've been performing for 7 years.
He's like all over
the scene. And I'm actually like cutting back from live shows so I can have more studio time.
But what worked out for me was that he's also, venturing into stand-up comedy as well. So he's like, yeah, I'll do a comedy show and I'll do some time and you can host it or whatever. And so, yeah, that's how it came to be.
Cool.
He's also very positive. If you ever read any blog that he's also commented on, everything you said had, you know, 5 exclamation points and was always really encouraging to everyone. And I was like, this guy's super. I don't know anybody else that's as openly nice as you are.
I am very exclamation point-tastic. And like, I like to comment on the AV Club blogs, and everyone thinks I'm a plant. Because it'll be some random, like, obscure person, and I'll be like, I love that person. They're like, clearly they sent you there.
Right, or I'm you're like, that person.
And you always love the person? Do you?
Well, I mean, they only remember it because it's, like, specific people who I don't always write it for every article.
Well, what if you hate something? Are you just as enthusiastic, or you just not comment?
I'll sometimes end it with a period.
That's how you know. Yeah. You don't like to bring that kind of attitude into the podcast.
Sorry, guys.
A rising tide or something.
So that was back in January of 2010. It was a fun way to kick off the year. We found
all the way back in January.
Yeah, like way back.
Back when it was cold, and you know, now you can cook an egg on the street. So
just today.
It was a really nice wine bar that Andrew found, and the owners are really cool, and they give us a nice little tight, intimate space and buckets of wine.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Well, I mean, they give us wine and we give them money in return.
Right.
So. Yeah.
It's a deal we have.
Yeah.
We exchange it.
Is it harder to do comedy when there's wine? because whenever I think like stand up, I think like beer or like straight scotch.
A lot of people have actually come in. They're like, I've never done a show in such a classy venue. But it's fun. We like to, right now we have a table set up, so it's like a comedy meeting. So it feels like the Elks Club.
It is. You walk in and
everyone gets an agenda.
Yes. Everybody shakes hands and meets each other for the first time. It's just a big long table. I always call it Benihana style comedy because we're all sitting there facing each other. Then they turn to their right or their left and they look at the stage area. And so it's a really intimate room, but it's super fun. And when I pictured it starting and Andrew told me it was in a wine cellar, I thought, oh, there's going to be a lot of 40-year-old balding men with glasses watching the show, and there hasn't been yet. It's just
sometimes
like people with sweatshirts wander in and they have their first glass of wine and they enter adulthood. That's what happens.
Yes.
It seems they're like, why am I holding this?
They come in as 10-year-olds and exit as 40-year-old balding men.
Exactly. But there is something about comedy that just tells you don't deserve to be in someplace classy. Yeah. You know, like it's, you can go to Caroline's or whatever, but like it's, there's got to be something dirty about it. You know, there's got to be a stench of smoke in the air or a haze or, you know what I mean?
Like there is the maitre d' who refuses to smile. Yes. He's gritty.
I wouldn't say dirty, but I'd say like mysterious.
Mysterious, creepy.
Yeah.
Off-putting.
No. Maybe kill the guy?
Listening.
He doesn't speak English. It's okay. No. Aurelio's a great guy. Everybody that works there is super awesome.
He was wearing a t-shirt last night. It was awesome.
He was. He was unwinding with chilling. A t-shirt. He's our mysterious overcast aspect of comedy show. That's what he is.
You think he kidnaps one in like 30 audience members, or is that is he just creepy?
It's very fair to say that.
Yeah, okay. It probably
happens. You won't know. You don't get much out of him. It's good evening, how are you, and then he's back to business.
Okay, so if anybody's gonna go to the show, and we encourage you to do so, have a buddy.
Yeah.
Get a buddy system.
We do actually like it when people bring all your friends just for safety.
Right. Tell people where you're going. Make sure you check in.
Because East Village is a very, very dangerous place.
Mm. Yeah. I found out,
dangerous in the Michael Jackson term of the album.
You know that subway stabbing that happened a little while ago?
Yes, that was so weird.
I found out that I was like 5 minutes from there.
Which
the one at like 5 o'clock in the morning?
Which station?
I ended up going in at the E, but it was right by the 1 and the 9 where I could have been killed. And I was going into the subway like right around that time. So this may have been a show only hosted by Dan. which would have made the topic so much more depressing. It's so I was going.
Tell us some jokes.
Gotta move on.
We've got to do the podcast, damn it. I would add another co-host.
What?
Just move.
Fuck you.
The show's got to go on, Dustin. Just move on.
There's a guy named Justin Diodato that he knows that he's been waiting to bring on the show.
There was definitely a stabbing in the subway station that's right by. Our show. I remember because like there was police tape everywhere, and the weirdest thing is we all had to walk single file through the station because it was like a crime scene, so it felt very kindergarten like.
That's awesome.
But nobody else looked different. No one batted an eye.
Yeah, I mean everyone was just like
I know everyone. I messed up everyone's day. That's
they're like, I have to spend another 3 seconds.
Exactly.
But again, ignore all this if you're considering going to the show.
Yeah. It's totally safe.
Ignore the kidnapping. Ignore the kidnapping and murder. Yeah. Other than that, good to go. Okay. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was just gonna say. So what is the backstage like? You know, like how do you
the green room?
Yeah, like and how do you go about actually producing
preparations
the
and
show?
Everything?
Yeah.
Well, right before the show starts, it seems like we have a set format that we've been sticking to, but it seems like 2 minutes before the show starts, Andrew and I will come into the back, which is essentially the main restaurant part, not the back performance room. And we say, hey, do you want to kick it off with music? Should I kick it off with jokes? Do you want to do this? It's good that we're in sync enough that we can just decide last minute like that of, hey, do you want to change it up this time or do you want to do what we did last time?
Yeah. Usually, like, I start out right at 8 o'clock sharp with some hip-hop and some freestyles to, pump up the audience, get the crowd warmed up, and then Abby will do some hosting. We have 4 booked comics, and at some point I'll slip in and do a little stand-up of my own. And
you round out the show with sometimes one of the comics that had performed earlier ends up doing music. Like DJ Hazard came and did some freestyle. He played guitar while you rapped.
Yeah, we'll do collabos.
Yeah.
So it's like never, you can never see it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It's a so-say collabo with a musical guest.
And we always have a special guest in the last half hour, the segment we call the Night Shift, where just comics that drop in get some stage time. It's great for the audience because they get some unplanned surprises and great for people rolling through. We had Sean Patton, Mike Kaplan dropped in, Dan Mahoney. So, it's always fun.
How do you decide who's going to be on the show? Because I found whenever I was co-hosting something, there was always that, like, controversy of, like, hey, can you put up, this guy? And it's like, fuck that guy. No, there's no way. That guy's not good.
I do the booking for the show.
Okay.
I just remembered what I was going to tell. I said to Andrew before the show, there's something I want to agree about before we go on air so that.
Oh.
But it's cool. The cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag.
I do not do the booking. I'm a horrible booker in that if I see somebody and I'm friendly with them or I see them and they're performing, they're great, and I'm like, oh, you should do the show next week. And I take in no account of like how it's been strategically organized and if it's overbooked.
I have super strategy.
He's a very good strategist.
I have like a pot and I mix it up and then like I go to the corner of the room and I cry. And then, like, I punch my head into the wall.
You follow
and then,
your instincts.
Like,
you play a game of Stratego.
Yeah,
it's a great game.
40 hours later, I'm finally like,
yeah,
these
one,
are the
two,
people.
Three, four.
Yeah, what I, those darts.
I try to do is book at least one person of ethnicity.
Me.
Which could be, besides Abby, it could be
okay,
many
so the show
things.
Is racist.
it could be someone who's like black or Hispanic or Asian or even like not of the 20 to 30, like somebody who's like, you know.
You're elderly. You get a shot on this show.
That counts as ethnic in my book or gay and at least one lady. Because, okay. You know, if you don't try hard, you can easily make it the white, skinny, like 20 to 30s male straight comedy review. There's like a billion of them and they're all crazy talented.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be funny if people had a show where they're like, I let at least one white guy on.
Yeah.
At least.
This week.
There's,
there
are shows in the city that are like that. I'm sure there are.
They're Canarsie.
I have
but the guy has to be able to dance.
Yeah. I'm always amazed, like, you know, we've talked about it before, when you go to, like, the Last Comic Standing auditions or whatever, and you're like, I know a lot of comedians, and I've never seen you motherfuckers before in my entire life. Where the hell did you come from?
Ralph Nagelson.
I am at a lot of shows, so there are shows going on in the city that I have never fucking heard
of. Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that show exists, where there's just, like, all right, we'll throw a white guy out.
Yeah. You count on those shows. My husband actually looks for those
what?
Shows
what
on Craigslist.
What does that mean?
No. I thought that's your secret way in.
I can only get shows through affirmative action. Is that what you're saying?
Reverse affirmative action. My husband looks for shows on Craigslist. Luke Thayer, he's a comedian, and he will play those real random shows in Staten Island or Long Island or wherever that nobody else wants to be on just because he knows they'll have an audience and he'll get to do his thing.
So you're the weakness in the show, is what you're saying. If
I'm
somebody
good
wants
cop,
to get on,
he's bad cop.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like super mean. I won't put any of my friends. I'll only put people I don't like on the show. So
right. So start making enemies.
That's
with
an excellent
answer.
Is this just like a sadomasochist? Like I want to hate this show.
He scowls in the back of the room
as much as possible.
I do a lot of like slow, angry,
sarcastic clapping.
Nice set.
Do a lot of ha ha.
Exactly.
This is great.
After every comic, before the next comic's up, he says, "Follow that." Just intimidate them.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's a lot to booking and producing. Producing is a very hard job, and you have experience in it. You said, Dustin.
Yeah.
And you, Dan.
I mean, I usually let other people, like I'm quote unquote a producer, much like on this show.
Yes.
I'm the co-host, and then Dustin does all the work, and then I show up 20 minutes late and go, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm late."
He's the eye candy of the group.
I know. Well,
So quick, which one of you is the Dan?
I guess that would make me the Dan just because Andrew's so proactive. But I think to produce a show, you have to be part control freak and, you know, part artist dying to show the world something it's never seen, you know?
Do you find, I found any time I was hosting a show, I ended up screwing myself the most.
You mean you didn't give yourself any stage time because you ended up making sure everybody else was taken
care
of?
Yeah, but with two people, how is that played in for you guys?
Well, we both do very short sets. Like, she does the warm-up set often, and, you know, it's always hard to do the warm-up because it's, like, people are just coming in, and it's, like, people are trying to get in there. And then, you know, I will often do, when I do a set, it'll usually only be, like, 4 or 5 minutes long. Because, you know, when we mostly book high-class, super professional people, and it's like, you know, I don't want to be there in the middle of the show doing like a 20-minute set when it's like, you know, someone with credits and so forth is about.
But I like the opportunity to be able to warm up the crowd. You know, you work on your improvisation, you work on getting those relatable stock lines that you can use later in clubs. But I get to perform, you know, a good chunk of comedy. It's just that if we've started late or if we have a particular long night shift on the horizon, then you do have to manipulate it so that everybody feels like they're having a good time, and it also doesn't run way too long just because it started a little later.
I see what you're saying in the positive aspect because your show is positively awesome.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, for my own personal thing, it is easy to hit a wall where you're going like, wait a minute, I put so much effort into this and I got to perform for the people who are fucking walking in the door.
Right.
You know, and like the people who aren't giving a shit. Like
the check spot.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm getting just some wine out of this whole deal.
No,
you know,
you're paying for the wine.
It's
actually
hard. I mean, sometimes you switch it up where, like, I'll be hosting it and then she'll do a longer set. So it's like, it just sort of depends on the week. I mean, our key is that we get to do it every week. So right. even if you don't perform that much at a specific show, it's like you still have another show.
Yeah,
next
I'd
week
say you and... take a bullet once a month where you just, okay, I really didn't get to get my new stuff out in the interest of time or because we had a special drop-in guest. But for the most part, that's why producing is hard. And that's why a lot of people bail on it is because you end up spending a lot of energy and not getting anything out of it. So like what we try to do is align on our goals for the show. And if we both wanted the same things out of the show or could agree on what the other person wanted mm-hmm. so that we didn't just end up getting stuck. Like if my goal was I want stage time and then somehow it wasn't happening, then I would have dropped it, you know?
Yeah. We reconfigure the format.
Right.
We're always changing.
What if you disagree? What happens?
Well, we get into
it's a mud wrestling fight,
yeah.
I believe. Is that
we get into like sexy fights? Like
it's very moonlighting, slamming doors.
We're on like a bed together, and it's like pillow fight, not like the Union Square pillow fights, but like the real old school like
the
feathers flying,
silky pink lingerie,
slow motion
on Andrew,
on me.
Well, I don't know. I think we only had one instance where we needed to. I guess realign, if I could use a corporate America term. We had a team meeting.
Yeah.
And it's just about communication and just talking it over.
Yeah, I like to send like really, really long emails to her with like 14 pages and like bibliographies at the end. Like
I like to write one word answers back 3 days later.
Sure.
Like,
thank you.
Just send her a message.
Sounds great.
Do you guys do a lot of trust falls and go like on a corporate retreat?
Yeah, tug of war.
Yep.
Tug of war happens.
We did a corporate retreat last week. It was
the egg race.
Hung out after the show.
We did the balloon where you try to like carry the balloon between you. Without...
I think that is so inappropriate that people still do that in the workplace.
Yeah.
Someone at my day job recommended orange pass through the neck.
Yeah.
Like, can we pass oranges through the neck? And I'm like, no.
We'll pass oranges with our hands.
I'll fail. Yeah, I'll fail at that one. Anyhow, but yeah, that's we haven't had a real fight yet, which is scary because in a new relationship,
knock on wood, totally.
That's not good.
We're in our honeymoon.
I want us to have a fight already because
true.
I think it works out well though.
Everything's peaches and cream at this point, but then a year from now,
because I'm like sort of like new to the stand-up world and I have sort of a new energy to it, and she's more experienced, so she has like ideas of like, you know, producing shows and hosting and keeping the shows running. So we have sort of two different angles that we're going at it. Which I think is good. We form like Voltron. And
definitely good for co-producing and co-hosting is have different interests with the same goal. Like, he's great at promotion. And the common thing, I guess, that we have is that we're both bubbly to the point of being sickeningly sweet.
Yeah, all of our jokes are just like, they make the audience,
But then our jaded comics that are on the lineup balance that out.
Yeah, we only book very angry, you know.
Yeah, I think that's where Nick Turner and I went wrong. We were both just mad at everything.
And that can be fun to watch, too, though.
And they closed down every venue we did the show at.
So yeah, that's hard.
That hurts.
It's
when the
it's
bar no longer exists.
So have the crowds been good? Have you guys been getting people in?
We're good. Well, like we explained, it's like two long tables in a very narrow room. So I'd say 10 to 12, quote unquote, fills it up. But we've had standing room only a couple times.
Yeah, we've had
several times actually.
Not only that, we've had some scouts come from
Just for Last Festival.
Just for Last Festival drop by and comics scouts dropped by. So
we were supposed to have some here tonight. I don't know what went wrong. They had to cancel the last minute. But normally
maybe
there are scouts
they're
in the corner.
I'm
sorry, guys.
Every other show but this one.
Yeah. I'll play it for them, you know, but it doesn't have the same feel if you're not.
I mean, we've had a few podcast scouts who...
I think there's a scout in that other room over there.
Yeah, pancakes in the kitchen.
Just stand in the corner taking notes.
Have you guys learned that was different than you had expected?
Andrew, yeah, I'll let you take that
let's
one.
Let's see. Well, what have I learned? I've learned...
Nothing.
Let's see. Booking is actually... I'm really glad that I do booking now because... I've always, you know, wanted to be on shows and asked people and been like, gosh, why aren't they booking me tomorrow, you know, for next week's show? And now that I actually book a show, especially, as I said, if it's like a white guy in his 20s and 30s, even if he's like crazy talented and I love him, it still might take a few months before I actually put him on, just because there's so many people and you have to have the right setup. And as I said, there's the witch's brew that I make, and it's, you know.
That's why I really love the night shift, because anybody that drops in, the first four comics that go up definitely get on, and if there's a little bit more, sometimes we squeeze them on too. So it's got a really cool aspect. I've learned, I know so much about the world. No, I guess.
How is this different from the living room?
When it comes, well, that's a good question. When it comes to growth as a comic, I feel like I'm a lot more receptive to doing things on the fly with this show than I was with the living room show, which I started in 06 when I was newer to comedy, and it's still going on. That's in Park Slope at a coffee shop called Postmark Cafe, and that is a clean comedy show, more or less. We definitely leave the F word out. That's really the room, the rule that the venue requires. So Positively Awesome is not specifically a clean show.
You can curse as much as you want.
You can. Unfortunately, you just can't be raucous. There's too much glass in the room.
Yeah.
There's way too many
wine
bottles.
Don't touch the glass door in the back.
Yeah, there's a glass.
That's very expensive and fragile.
Okay. But
I thought there was something going on back there.
No, it's just a wine fridge.
Oh, okay.
People always are like curious to see what it's like, and then they sometimes during their set they like go into the
back. Christy's set went into the back for the first time, and he was like, "Can you guys hear me? Because we could. His speaker was on our side. He couldn't hear us react, so that was funny."
Yeah, and then they're just like, "Oh, it's so cold."
So what do you do when the awful, like, when somebody who you hate wants to be on the show?
I mean, I just am like, thanks for your interest, and we'll let you know of opportunities, which is actually the same thing I say to people I like. Mm-hmm. Although usually if I like them, I'll be like, "We're definitely putting you on, you know, I can't wait."
Give me one example of a comedian who you hate.
There's so many to choose from. Well, there's nobody I hate.
He's not crazy about having me on, but I did help him start the show.
If you could pick one comedian that should stop.
Yeah.
Who would that?
Just one.
Unfortunately, those who should stop probably should keep on going, and that makes them better.
That is true, but yeah.
Look how positive
I
she
know.
Is.
She's flipped
hey,
it.
I am gonna.
This is something I've learned. How about that? Since I didn't answer
I am
going
to unpositive you, motherfucker.
I know.
I am going to bring you down to
we
my bitter, bitter
you.
Level. All right.
Well, that was something hard to deal with. Was here's a funny thing. The owner of the place had a goal in mind, I think, financially. And it was like, you know, hey, if you get this many heads in, that'll, you know, make my numbers go up. And Cellar 58 is a relatively new venue. They've, I think, been around 6 or 7 or 8 mm-hmm. months. And so there was that kind of expectation on that end that, I guess, hadn't been clearly conveyed to us, so that after the first several shows, we're like, hey, great turnout. And she's like, look at these numbers. This is horrible.
Yeah.
So I, at my day job, had this, there was a guy that came in as a speaker and gave like a talk on partnerships and how you can, I guess, you know, whatever, something that people do in corporate America that has to do with partners. But every little step that he put on his whiteboard, I ended up writing down and kind of taking that to the woman and just kind of talking
and
it out with her.
She came over and we had a meeting and she practiced with me beforehand. So like,
really?
Like, it was very what are you looking for out of this relationship? Yeah. How can we meet your goals?
So specifically what I learned was how to better negotiate with the venue owners because, okay. You know, if you guys aren't on board or
at
on
first
the same page,
they wanted
then
it
they
to be
drop
like
you.
A $20 cover and 2 drink minimum because she's like right. Well, Caroline's does that, so we should too.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, people do East Village, people attend shows in East Village because it's cheaper than
right,
Caroline's
right.
Like
and for free, so.
If you go to Caroline's, you'll get, you know, mega star movie star comedians, and we'll give you that level of talent,
right?
But you know, it was hard to negotiate it down to just be a 1 drink minimum.
Mm-hmm. But you know. To her credit, they've left it that way. They've enjoyed the show. They've let the show go on.
Yeah.
And so we haven't gotten any more. Kind
and
of.
We're building crowds up.
We
and,
are.
You know, we're making it where we don't get any money out of it, but we do get the joys of performing 3-minute sets every week.
I don't tell Andrew that I get money out of it, but
she Abby actually gets a lot of money out of it.
It's my charisma,
which is weird.
Well, she didn't negotiate
money.
I did. I didn't. Yeah. I left that part out in our meeting ahead of time.
Yeah, where were you during the PowerPoint presentation? That's not easy to put together.
We
she had smart art in there, and you were nowhere.
I did.
This. Fingers crossed.
I know. Our first big fight's coming, Andrew.
Yay.
So you learned negotiation skills with the venue. Can you give us a couple of things that you learned?
Yes. One of those, when you're trying to create a partnership, mm-hmm. you want to, what were those lessons? You want to make sure
Goals are aligning.
Goals are aligned. Oh, here's the thing. You want to ask them questions. You want to you want them to vent their frustrations. So if the venue says, we're not making enough money, you have to, you should repeat it back to them so they know you're in line. So you say, so what you're saying is you're not making enough money? And they're like, yes! That's exactly what I'm saying. And it's like a psychological thing, but it helps at least. It just shows them you're listening because you are, and you're trying to figure out what their problem is. But it's better to do that and ask them what's wrong and kind of ascertain information than just say, look, if you like art and you want this place to do better, then you need to have our show on. You know, you don't want to be too bossy.
And it's a good bonding thing. It's like, you're not making enough money. I'm not making enough money.
Exactly.
None of us are making enough money.
That's what I said. And I was like, why do you want this show here? You know, because you do want to, you want to find out if they even want that partnership at all. And she was like, well, I like the comedy. She's Italian. I like the comedy. I like, I want people to be happy. And so, you know, we,
Abby continues to be racist.
Horrible accents are my forte, by the way.
Now I make you a pizza pie.
And make you a pizza pie.
Hey.
She did. Then we hugged.
Bizana, come on.
And then she stomped on some mushrooms.
I know. I was going to say, we played Mario Brothers on the way home. Oh, Andrew. That's a good one.
And you guys passed oranges with your necks. And it all worked out.
I did that when I was a freshman in college. You passed. It was a fun game.
Okay.
Do you know my problem is? I'm not comfortable with physical contact with coworkers. Like, I can pat you guys on the shoulder just fine, but when it comes to coworkers, I'm like,
That actually happened once.
In corporate America, I think if you were just like, hey, come here.
Let's
spoon.
Thighs. Go to this meeting.
We should spoon a little bit under my desk. Did he get fired that way?
A little off-putting,
Well, guys get fired that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know about ladies.
Do they do ladies' corporate harassment suit? Like, oh, that woman was so friendly to me. I just made me uncomfortable.
Probably
never.
Because one out of like 10,000 guys every year will fuck it up.
Well, I think every time it happens, it's in the news. So it's still in that level of, like, you know.
Of rarity.
What's a lady? Right. I'm going to write this down. Let's put this in the newspaper.
Usually the lady is a teacher and the guy is a 13-year-old student.
Yeah, well, that's a little.
That's a whole different bowl of peaches.
Yeah,
Because, again, that's still awesome.
Yeah. I like to.
If you're a 13-year-old boy and you hook up with a teacher,
well,
awesome.
The reason
you have more game than anyone ever.
Almost always the reason they get caught is because the kid bragged to everybody he knew.
Ah,
and that is how they
is
almost
that it?
Always, yeah. Because you always, in the story, it always be. And then he told 12 friends. And then one of the friends told his mom. And then the mom called the school. Like, that's always. Which I got to say, I cannot blame the kid at all.
Yeah, how could you not brag?
Also, the really clear writing on the bathroom wall is a giveaway. Sharpie.
That's a big one.
Would you be upset if you found out your kid slept with, like, a hot teacher?
If my 13-year-old son slept with a hot teacher? Outwardly, I would be upset. Because society would demand that I be upset. My wife would be very angry
at
me.
Well, you'd fake it, and that's nice.
But inside, like, when we were alone, I'd be like, dude, seriously, high five. Yes.
I'm hoping to have a 13-year-old son that is Stefan Urkel. No, other way around. That's Steve Urkel. Like, I would want him to be so socially awkward.
You want that?
Yes. That he wouldn't think about dating or having emotions towards a woman until later. Innocence, something about preserving innocence, and me being able to control.
But with
I have that controlling mother in me, I'm sure.
Sometimes that's like the look that people like. They're like, yo, that nerdy kid.
He needs me to save him.
Andrew, exactly. I want to agree
Chocolate
with you
rain.
There, but that's never happened.
I think it's because I was that nerdy kid, so I'm like,
Andrew and Dustin are fantasy.
You realize that in a real life Urkel gets beat up every day.
Yeah.
He does.
Like, by anybody. Yeah. Like
it's
I
true.
Was a nerd.
It's like you're
and I wanted to beat the crap out of him. So,
yeah.
I wasn't that much of a nerd, I hope.
Well.
Probably.
What?
What, sound engineer?
Sorry.
I think on that note,
I'm going to cry.
Oh, okay. Well, you cry, and then unfortunately we're going to have to wrap this up because we are out of time.
So much fun.
But
yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah. That was awesome.
Thank you guys so
much. And one more time about your show, Positively Awesome at the Cellar 58.
Yes.
It's on 2nd Avenue between 3rd and 4th here in New York City.
It's 58 2nd Avenue, hence Cellar 58.
Yes.
Okay.
Tuesdays at 8 to 9:30.
That's right.
Check it out. And we'll post.
We'll have the info on that.
Yeah, we'll post the link to everything because it's.
We're on Facebook.
Yeah, you can find me at facebook.com/curlycomedy.
And I'm / SOCET 2, which is the number 2.
Great.
Did someone else already have...
You had to have a 5-character name.
I see.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Okay.
I waited the day you got your username and, like, I
you know what you needed?
In.
An exclamation point.
So say exclamation
Would
point.
Would that have counted?
Maybe.
Oh, get on
you
it.
You probably still get it.
I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
And don't forget to come back to our website on the 14th, 7:30. Listen to the show live.
Woo.
We'll do it live.
Yes.
We'll do it live.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys so much for being on. Thank you guys for listening at home.
Before we go, we're going to end it with a little freestyle.
Yeah.
Are you cool with that?
Oh, always.
All right.
Cool as ice.
All right, I think we have some music
so much
queued up.
Yeah.
Kick it, DJ Dustin.
Kick it.
Yeah. Yo, I'm so say, the elemental wizard. I make beats. It sounds a little tinny, but it's coming from my iPod. You know, I don't wear the Izod. Yeah. Yo, I just wear. I forget what I wear. I wear clothes, shirts. Yeah. Because I put in work. It's worth it. You know, I do the stand-up circuit. And then I'm not perfect. We all make mistakes. We do what it takes to take us to the top of the bridge and jump into a lake. But no, that's how you get cold, unless it's a short bridge. Maybe 10 feet in the air. I did it when I was a kid, and I did not have problems. I did it with my friends. It was a fun time. Got very scary for about 3 seconds, but then it was worth it. Whatever, because I am a lethal weapon. Give me your topic, and I'm a freestyle. Whatever you want to hear. Give me an idea.
Steve Urkel?
Yeah.
Steve Urkel, yeah. And you're wearing a shirt that's purple. You can't see it in the audience, but you better believe me. He was on TV, and he was not fat. And he asked, did I do that? He liked the girl. He caused lots of trouble. And this guy, he lives in a bubble. What you gonna do? That was a callback. Let you know that we can make it happen. He was, like, doing it for 9 years. He tried to show that he was a stud and he was Steven. But nobody was believing, because they said you were a not cool guy. So you better go back and say bye-bye to your whole career, whatever he can do. I haven't seen him on TV too much lately, but what you gonna do? Yeah, another topic.
Baseball.
Because it's opening day a couple days ago, when we will hit a home run and then do a steal, and that's all I know. I mean, yo, I was a Boston Red Sox fan because I'm from New Hampshire, and that's how we do it, man. But nowadays, I like the Mets because Dave says so, and I follow whatever he says. So, yo, there was a guy named Michael Jackson, and he was a baseball player for the Giants. That is the one fact, so I gotta represent. Because I had the baseball cards, I got the cap, and I like the logo, and you can go. I played baseball in fourth grade. They put me on the first grade team because I was not so hot, but what can I say? But we still got to have pizza after every game, so it was really good, fun time, and I even pitched, made it to the first base sometimes. Yeah, so say the Elemental Wizard, Comedy Nerds Podcast, come on.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah! Yeah!
Thank you very much. And make sure that you, is your CD available?
Yeah, you can get it on iTunes. Just type SOCE and you'll find me. I got 3 CDs out. I'm In My Own World, The Lemonade Incident, and the latest one is called Master of Fine Arts.
Nice. All right, we'll check it out. And thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Yep, thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Comedy Nerd. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com, where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.